Pop the bubble. Pop, 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 pop,
pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop.
Ready?
No, no, no. Be the ball. Be the ball.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of East to West with Nick and Rob. My name is Rob.
And my name is Nick. Hey, Rob, the love boat.
Stop.
Can I keep going? It's... One more line. It's exciting and new. Come aboard.
Come aboard. Oh! We're expecting you. You're messing the lines up already.
Yeah,
Nick.
Well, you know, it's really emotion. It's not really the lyrics. It's the emotion behind the lyrics.
But you know what? We're going to get America started early. I'll allow it.
Oh, boom! Drink up! What are we talking about today, Rob?
Oh, Nick, we're going to talk about the Love Boat.
Yeah, you teased it. You wanted it. America said yes. Here we go. Let's do this. Recast, reboot the Love Boat.
East to West with Nick and Rob. Recast, reboot the movies.
East to West with Nick and Rob. Recast, reboot your favorites. I think The Godfather. Do The Godfather.
Take the cannoli.
Yeah, leave the gun. Though. Just leave the gun. Leave it behind. Grab the cannolis because they're good. They taste good. The gun's a murder weapon.
I've got to make you an offer you can't refuse.
Mo Xing Xia. Don't react so well. Double lunch.
Too many jokers.
All right, Nick. This was a great show because it was like every time the episode came on, it was an ensemble cast of guests on this cruise ship. And it was the MS Pacific Princess, the Love Boat. What better way to have a TV show every week than a cruise ship and people aren't getting sick and throwing up and getting quarantined on it?
You know, I wondered why you wanted to do this. And as I started watching a couple of the episodes, I watch a lot of Love Boat. As we point out before on this podcast, you are a tiny bit older than me. So I watch it in syndication, whereas you watch it in real time.
Oh, shut up.
77 to 86. You're welcome, America. Listen, there's two things I want to say about it. Number one, escapism. America needs escapism all the time. We go to HBO for escapism. We go play pickleball for escapism. We're looking to get out of reality a little bit, right? And I think there's a correlation between Love Boat and Star Trek and things like this. The episode starts out, you know, the dad from Happy Days is a cop who's down on his luck. He looks at the lighter. It says the Pacific Princess. And then he goes on the Love Boat. You're down and out and you want to escape. You go on a cruise ship. You know what I mean? Like, I think that that is just something that is prime for reboot recasting and actually something that I didn't really want to do. The more I watched it, this was a great idea. I think we should do this. I'm excited about it.
Well, there's seven main parts to the cast of the show.
Seven crucial parts. You're right about that.
Some of them ended up a little bit later on in the series as it went on, but they were very crucial to the construction of each episode. We're talking about the captain, obviously, the doc, the yeoman, the bartender, the cruise director, the captain's daughter, and the photographer.
Ted McGinley.
And the Looney Bar!
It's amazing.
Who still looks the same today as he did then.
I wanted to cast Paul Rudd, but I didn't want two ageless fuckers in the role, so I said, no, I'm not going to do it.
Paul Rudd's too busy doing Marvel stuff, so, you know.
I tried to blend a good mix of, like, who could possibly do it realistically. Like, I'm not going to put Brad Pitt as Captain Steubing or something. I wanted to construct a good ensemble because, honestly, the Love Boat, it's just so comfort. It's so comfort television. It has to be a smooth ensemble.
Admit it. You know that you were going to put Ryan Gosling in as the captain.
When we recast, reboot The Godfather, Michael Corleone, Emma Stone. All right, there it is.
Chris Pratt is Don Vito.
Let's start with the idea of the song. Now, I love the song. I think it had 9 seasons, right, if I'm not mistaken. And they had, like, the song with the lyrics and the song without the lyrics. And they had, like, the cool version with the guitar riff that I always liked. So for me, I wanted to redo the song, do a little reboot on the song with Post Malone, but also Wolfgang Van Halen from Mammoth, who, by the way, is opening for Guns N' Roses here in Vegas pretty soon, to give that cool guitar riff. So you have the option of playing the whole song in the pilot and then maybe just the riff and the cool sounds after, you know, as the season goes on, you don't want to spend that much time in the opening credits.
All right. So you're going to go into the future with the theme song by doing that.
I think it could play on the radio if you get those two to do it, honestly.
By the way, side note on that, Mammoth was the original name of Van Halen, if you really want to know.
I remember. Listen, when I saw that for Guns N' Roses, I thought Axel or whoever's in charge there is really tipping their hat and it kind of made me emotional. original.
All right. You're going to go with Post Malone and Wolfgang Van Halen.
I think it would sound so cool. Remember what he did with the Spider-Man song from Into the Spider-Verse? Like, Post Malone, somebody I came to late, but man, I've really grown to appreciate him.
It's funny you mentioned that Spider-Man, because the person that I picked to do the theme song also did a cover of the Spider-Man theme, and it's sticking with the cleanness and croonerness of the original theme.
I knew you would go crooner. I knew you couldn't help yourself.
I'm going with Michael Bublé singing the Love Boat.
Oh, are you Italian? I forget.
You're Greek. I'm Italian.
Michael Bublé, Canadian specialist. Yeah, you know what? He could crush it. I think our shows will be different as usual. You're welcome, America. But yeah, I could see that. I understand that.
Mine, people are going to watch, and yours is going to end up on VH1 at 1 a.m. in the morning.
First of all, I watch VH1 all the time. It's amazing.
Right after Teen Mom.
They still play fucking music videos.
Yeah, so does it MTV, except at like 3 in the morning.
Yeah, yeah. Good job by you.
So who do you want to start with? You want to start with the captain and work our way down through the cast, or you want to go the other way?
I think we have to, only because it sets the tone, and it also, if you reject my first choice, my second choice changes everything. So yeah, I think we start from the top. Let's go Captain Steuben.
All right, you were jonesing at the bit, chomping at the bit, whatever you were doing over there. You was like, this is game-changing that you're captain. So let's go with your captain first.
So look, I tried very hard. You know, we haven't done a lot of TV on Recast Reboot E2W, right? So I tried very hard to be realistic, but I needed some clout. I needed some gravitas in this particular part, and I needed to set the tone of my ship. I was thinking a bunch of different people that sort of washed through my mind. I was thinking Bryan Cranston. I was thinking Anne Hathaway, but I leaned on somebody who has done television recently, a Ryan Murphy show, 911, and someone I have always loved. Can't be too old, can't be too young. She's beautiful, she's ageless. It's Angela Bassett, and I love this choice.
I like Angela Bassett. I like her as a cop. I don't know if I'd like her as my captain of a cruise ship, because you're going to have that deadpan humor for this part as well.
I think that's true. She can do humor. Give her a chance. I'm telling you, she can do some humor. But she's also got to be like, look, make sure this guy has a good time, and then walk away. You know, drop the fucking microphone every once in a while.
Your captain is good, but I think my captain is going to be better.
It's Michael Bublé.
It's a Michael.
Okay. All right. Let's see.
It's a Boston-born actor.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
It's Michael Chiklis.
Wow. Michael Chiklis. I did not see that coming. Yeah, I'll allow it.
Drink up.
I don't know whose I like more. Like I said, I think these are two different shows. You've got Bublé, I've got Post Malone, I've got Angela Bassett, you've got Chiklis. Yeah, I think so. The Shield, can he do comedy? Is it a fair question to say,
yes,
can he do comedy? Okay.
Yes, he can. He can do comedy.
Okay.
He was in The Commish. The Commish was one of those dark comedy shows as well.
Yeah, I remember. It was a sneaky, weird show. Yeah, I do remember that. I remember more from The Shield, but yeah, I remember in The Commish.
There hasn't been anything that guy has been on that hasn't done well, including the Fantastic Four movies.
The crappy Fantastic Four movies? Okay. All right.
They did well because people still went and saw them and paid money to go see them.
That's true. Yeah. They had Captain America when he was turning into fire.
Yes. Fire America.
Jessica Alba as the Invisible Woman. I mean, amazing casting there.
Well, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the doc.
Oh, you're going to hate mine so much. You go first.
Okay. My doc is actually a real doctor.
Oh, interesting. Okay. This is a charismatic part, a very important part to the ship.
It is. And my doctor is going to be Ken Jeong.
Oh, you know what? I like it. I like that. Good job by you. I'm not going to say it, but I do like this casting. That might be better than mine. I think he's too distracting in his physical comedy, maybe, but I like Ken Jeong a lot. I went with somebody a little bit more network television, a little bit more recognizable in the sense that, like, I'm thinking about future guest star opportunities here. I went with the adorable, the lovely David Schwimmer from Friends. Watch the reunion, you kind of miss him. I just think this is a part he could just ham up. He could chew this thing up. And he's older
Friends
now.
Friends was a comedy. It wasn't a tear fest.
Look, there's emotion in this show, but the key to the show is like the light romantic comedy aspects of it.
Friends was a comedy. It wasn't Party of Five.
I like Party of Five. Rob well, says no.
I say no.
No. Are you crazy?
How can you have a guy that that played the pallbearer play a doctor. Come on.
Nobody saw the fucking pallbearer. Come on.
They've been playing the shit out of that lately on the preview
movie. I literally own the DVD. I'm not lying about that. See that one, America. That one snuck by. Gwyneth Paltrow. She's lovely.
So
I'm losing you, but I'm going to bring you back. Don't worry, Uncle Rob. I'm going to bring you back a little bit. Just hang in there with me.
You're sending me into a totally different universe. It's the Nickiverse.
Windmills. Into the Post Malone Spider-Verse. Here we go, baby.
The Yeoman, Purser, the part of Gopher. Who do you have playing Gopher?
Okay, I'll do this one first. I'm very confident in my choice here. I'd be pretty shocked if you didn't like it, right? Gopher, another interesting part. There's a lot of funny lines there. The Yeoman is an important part of any ship. As somebody who's in the military for a little while, I could tell you that's a crucial piece of the puzzle. I chose somebody that I wanted to have a little bit of edge, and I wanted to be able to deliver some snarkiness, right? So I went with Walter Goggins, who is in The Hateful Eight, who was in Vice Principals, who was on Justified. You've seen him a lot. He's pretty famous, and I think he could crush this part. Walter Goggins.
Yeah, he was in Major League 3, Back to the Minors, wasn't he?
The third best Major League movie. Yeah, not including our reboot, which would be the most amazing.
I like him. He's one of those good
actors. He even fit that part. He doesn't fit that part to you?
I said I like him. I didn't say I allow it. I'm going to say no to every single cast member you have.
I expect nothing less.
Because, like you said, I watched this in real time, and you watched it in syndication. So
that is true.
F you, Nick. Betamax.
That's true, yep.
All right. My gopher played a doctor on TV. He's a funny guy. I think this part suits him for this movie with the rest of the cast that I have going here. I picked Donald Faison.
Oh, man, it's hard for me to argue that. There was some Zach Braff scuttling about in my brain when I was casting people. I just couldn't find a part for him. But Donald Faison, I loved on Scrubs, obviously. He's done a bunch of stuff, but Scrubs was the top of the heap for me. Yeah, I do kind of like him there. Sure, Rob, I'll allow it. I'll allow it.
Unbelievable, America. Drink up. All right. Speaking of drinking up,
crucial bartender. Yeah, the bartender's a big part. I don't love mine as much, so you go first on this one.
My bartender can pretty much play any type of part whatsoever that I think is thrown at him. He's hosted game shows.
Okay, yeah, that sounds about right.
He's been in one of the highest rated comedy sketch shows out there.
Ooh, kind of like this. I'm talking about
Keegan-Michael Key.
Believe it or not, I kicked the tires on him for this very same part. And I think he would be very good. He's about to be on an NBC sitcom. I can't even say the name of it. It's like the name of the town, that weird musical one. But yeah, I do like him. I think he probably would do it. Let me tell you mine, and I think maybe we're thinking a little differently. I think at some point where I want some comedy, some snarkiness, I also want to bring people back in to the more serious stuff. There are aspects of the show, like all great Aaron Spelling shows, but you mentioned Donald Faison and Scrubs. The weird thing about a show like Scrubs is every once in a while, you're laughing most of the time, but you can cry. Like there's that sneaky like emotion that shows up, and the Love Boat has some of that. So
like
for
the Friends reunion,
kind of like the Friends reunion, where I fucking definitely cried. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie about that, America. David Schwimmer, come on, we have room for more of him in our life. But what I would say is to bring that into this my recast reboot. I wanted Sterling K. Brown from This Is Us, and I think he could crush that role as the bartender. I don't know if he would do it, but I like him in that part.
He's too serious of an actor to play.
I think you're right. But I want to give him a chance to do some comedy, and I think he's capable of it. And I also want him to have that serious side.
I think he could do comedy. I'd rather have him as the captain of the ship.
Handsome guy. Yeah, believe it or not, I did kick the tires on that too, but I just didn't want to go there.
I don't know. Your cast is kind of working in a weird, dark humor kind of, you know, we're going to crash the ship. It's off the coast of Italy and let it sink.
Ships are blocking canals. Ships are getting shut down for COVID. It's a dark time. You know what I mean? Yes, escapism, but a little reality is brought into this thing too here.
All right. Let's get to the fun part of the show here. The cruise director, the person who makes everything happen on the ship.
Gotta be a good smile, gotta have a great attitude. Tough part.
The person who played the cruise director was cute then, and it's gonna be someone who is bubbly and can actually interact with the guests on so many levels. So I went with Julianne Hough for this part.
That's interesting. Yeah, from the dance show, right? Ryan Seacrest's ex-girlfriend? I don't know if they're still together.
Oh yeah, they've been broken up for a while.
A while, yeah. I'm an old man. I don't know. I don't follow this stuff. But
she get back together like Ben and Jen.
Sure. Yeah, it's going to happen. Full circle, as always. Yeah, I do like her. I think she could definitely pull the part off. She's obviously lovely. I could see her doing yoga on the front of the ship or whatever. So exactly. Yeah, I could see that. I like it. I don't know if it's the theme of my show, but I do like her. I think that's solid casting. I actually struggle with this role quite a bit. I think the bartender and the cruise director are maybe the two most difficult to complete the ensemble here. I went with Kristen Bell, and it was really close. I like her, and then the Dax Shepard possible guest stars down the road seem to work for me. I think it's got to be somebody in the sweet spot of like beautiful, charming, funny. But again, they're going to interact with everybody, so it's crucial. I kicked the tires on Claire Danes, and I kicked the tires on Amanda Crew, who was famous for Silicon Valley. But ultimately, I landed on Kristen Bell. I think she could do this part.
Don't you find that her and Dax are a little bit weird?
They are weird, but my show's weird. So welcome aboard, baby. Exciting
and new. Wow. Maybe she can have solve some capers, you know, every now and then. You know?
Veronica Mars. You know what? I was not a Veronica Mars fan. I'm sorry for anybody's going to yell at me for that.
They're going to yell at you.
Let me ask you this real quick before you give the Twitter. Quick tangent. I was not a Buffy the Vampire Slayer TV show guy, but I was a Christy Swanson, Luke Perry, Pee Wee Herman, Buffy the Vampire movie person. How about you?
I didn't watch that show.
It wasn't a good show. It was a bad show, I thought. I thought it was bad. And I also thought Veronica Mars was kind of crappy.
I like sci-fi, but I didn't like sci-fi that much. Much to watch that and
yeah.
Whatever that was, like vampires and werewolves and
yeah, beautiful people whatever. Just throw the vampire stuff in. I watch Beverly Hills 90210 if that's what I wanted, or Melrose Place. I don't need vampires for that.
I was more of a Melrose guy over 90210.
Yeah, well, we all were.
Just because of the age of the characters.
Heather Locklear, I mean, that was a great show. I still watch that show.
If you want to yell at Nick for anything, easttowestwithnickandrob@gmail.com.
easttowestwithnickandrob@gmail.com.
Or throw us a tweet at Nick and Rob. E2W.
Nick and Rob E2W. Almost said it right.
You did say it right.
There it is.
I'll allow it.
Oh! All right, let's finish up, Rob. Who else we got?
Oh, we got two more pots to go. The captain's daughter, Vicky. Okay. If you remember
Jill
the Vicky
Whelan, right? I saw her recently. I can't remember in what, but man, she's still lovely.
I saw her recently too. I was watching Airplane.
There's a sale at Penny's.
An all-timer, Rob. We will not recast reboot that.
We will never recast reboot. Leslie Nielsen lives on in infamy. Anyway, younger girl, cuter girl. So we're going to need someone to play this part. And there's a reason why I'm picking this part, because of who I'm going to have doing the show running on this.
Okay. So I have a showrunner as well.
My Vicky is going to be Iris Apatow.
Okay. Interesting. I kind of like it. I want to see your show. I think it's one of those ones where I'm going to watch three episodes and decide if it's going to get canceled or not. But I'm interested to see how it comes together.
See, you're going to have a series that's going to go straight to Netflix. I'm going to have specials. It's going to be like Love Boat reboot.
You know, we didn't talk about it at the opener here, but Love Boat, it reminded me again, classic television versus modern television. You know, I just had pitched on the pod a couple episodes ago, Mare of Easttown a couple times, 8 episodes, Watchmen, 10 episodes. I like these like 8-10 things, but Love Boat's like 25, 29 per year. What's your show? Is your show 25 plus episodes per year or what?
No, I like to break it up. We'll go with even though I hate the format of This Is Us, where they have four seasons within 1 year and each season is 6 episodes. Yeah. So that's how I think I would do mine, because they're going to be hour long episodes. It's not a sitcom where you can get away with the 25 episodes of a half an hour each with a couple of 1 hour specials in there. So that's how I'm looking at it.
I had rewatched a couple episodes of The Love Boat, and actually, to be honest with you, Rob, some of them are more than an hour. I don't remember that as a kid, but they're like longer than an hour.
There were specials. There was movies too. There was Love Boat movies within the seasons.
People love this show.
So who's your Vicky?
So my Vicky, I went with Ariana Grande. And I don't want to apologize for it. I think she would actually crush this role. I think it's prime for her to do like a movie or something. And I think she would kill this role. My Vicky is probably not in every single episode either. I think she just shows up periodically. I wanted to go Zendaya, but I didn't allow myself to do it again. So I went Ariana Grande because it's an Uncle Bookie special and I knew you would love it.
Why? You trying to make up for when we did the other one? Breakfast at Tiffany's?
Full circle, baby. Here we go.
What do you mean?
I'm taking shots now because we had bets on you were going to mention certain people. So I'm going to start to do shots for every
Listen,
person you
I know
mentioned.
Your ace is Anna Kendrick, all right? Let's just cat out of the bag this thing.
She's not in the show.
Okay, good for you. I'm proud of you.
So, Ariana Grande, you know she cut her ponytail off. She has a new hairstyle now.
Yeah, it's fine. I don't care.
All right, Ace, the photographer.
Important part.
You're going to have to go first because I'm gonna make you wait with bated breath for who my photographer is.
I feel like this one, you might kill me on it. Look, I wanted in my brain a Jason Priestley 90210 type, right? So I scavenged my memory. I didn't want somebody super, super young, but I had to to be somewhat handsome and somewhat charismatic. And with the rest of the cast taking that in mind, I wanted to pull the trigger on Adam Scott from Step Brothers, as you know, Parks and Rec. You know, I love him so much, but I went another way and I went Sean William Scott, who hasn't done a lot of stuff. I feel like he would say yes. And I think he could really do well in this role. It could be like a scene stealing Emmy type of performance for him. So I went Sean William Scott from Goon and American Pie. I think he could do this. So that's my choice. I don't know if you'll like it or not, but that's where I landed.
Two words for you. Dude, sweet.
Dude, what does mine say? Sweet.
No.
All right, Rob says no.
No way.
I say no, because my part is I'm trying to get this guy on mainstream television.
All right, you're going to push somebody.
I am going to push somebody. I wanted this person to be on one of the top shows out there that they watch on Monday nights, because I think the audience would quadruple with him as The Bachelor. So my photographer is going to be none other than Julian Edelman.
What? Boom! Mic drop! Oh my god! I did not see that coming. That's a lot of pressure on Julian.
Well, he already does stuff like this. He already does photography. He makes his own videos. He has
pretty
a new production
it.
Company that started up.
He's crazy fucking handsome. I'm not going to argue with that.
He's crazy handsome. He's charismatic. And I think he'd be perfect for the cruise ship.
I don't want to argue with it. I don't know, again, if it works. I know he can catch a ball that's like just a half a centimeter from the grass, but I don't know that he could do this part, but I'd love to see him try. So you know what, Rob? I'll allow it.
You know what? I'll allow it.
American drink up. I mean, he has to point a camera and say, smile, click, click, click. Hey.
No, but there's a lot more than that. There's a lot in the facial. There's a lot in the chemistry between the guests on the ship and the photographer. There's just a lot going on with that part.
He could have his own special during the middle of the show.
Yeah.
It's photography time.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? I sort of like it. I want to see what Sean William Scott does with this part, but Julian Edelman, fuck it. Let's give it a go. Think about my cast. Think of all the interconnected pieces, all the people that could come on, from Walter Goggins and the Quentin Tarantino universe to Angela Bassett and her long, lustrous career. Everybody loves Angela Bassett. To David Schwimmer, the Friends cast. You know what I mean? Kristen Bell, Dax Shepard, Veronica Mars, Sarah Michelle Gellar, all these people that could come on. I just like the way the cast sort of interconnects in that way. Yes, it's a crazy mess. Maybe it's organized chaos, maybe it's disorganized chaos, but I'd love to give it a shot.
Your show, like I said, it's going to go to HBO Max probably.
It's pricey. It's pricey, yep, as usual.
My show is going to be fun. People are going to want to watch it.
Yours is on CBS, you know?
all the women are going to be watching Julian Edelman and his Ace, the photographer.
You're going to be like CBS +++, and this is the signature show that makes you pay another monthly fee.
Exactly. And I'm going to have Judd Apatow as my showrunner.
You know what? With your cast, I sort of like how that kind of ties it all together. Yeah.
And, you know, his wife can show up on there as a guest star.
She's
Leslie
fantastic.
Mann.
Yep. She's beautiful.
I mean, Charo was huge in Love Boat. So we have a new Charo out there, and it's Sofia Vergara. She's
going
to show up.
Yep. She would absolutely. I would see her as, like, for sure, like the Bosley character, just multiple times recurring there.
And tell me, like, you wouldn't want to have Larry David show up as a guest or Dan Levy show up as a guest.
He would fucking say no. I know he would fucking say no, but yeah, Eugene Levy's son, yeah, he would definitely show up. Yeah, I think, you know what? It just depends. Like, I think America's prime for the recast reboot of this. I think this show could actually work, whereas some of these other reboots don't work. They come and go. So yeah, if it works, you could really get big names on this show. I believe that.
And you got to admit, I mean, the ship itself back then was kind of ugly, as were all cruise ships.
Well, cinematography and cameras. Now you can do some beautiful stuff with it.
Oh yeah, but just think of a beautiful cruise ship with all the stuff on it, and then the super cruise ships with like
with the water slide and all this other
nonsense. Restaurants in them. They have like 20 restaurants in them.
Oh yeah,
you know, and little clubs in them, and just think of all that. You can have the karaoke nights and all that other crap. So
I agree. I think there's a lot. I've always wanted. I don't know. We've talked about it a little bit on the pod before, but SeaQuest was one of my favorite shows, and I love submarine stuff. And I feel like we're missing the boat, missing like a submarine show or a Navy show that does stuff like that. This is a little bit like that, just the more fun sort of escapism version.
Yeah. Did you redo what was that movie about?
Crimson Tide.
Periscope up or down or whatever.
Yeah. Down Periscope. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know that they ever catch the sweet spot. Like, I like Hunt for Red October. I I think that's the best Jack Ryan movie. And I thought Crimson Tide was good drama, maybe not perfectly written. Das Boot is a really, really good movie if you can handle the subtitles. I don't know that anybody's ever really done it right, but I feel like it could be done right. You just got to find the right people to do it.
It was Sequest was more like a exploratory. Sequest was,
yeah, it was Star Trek, just underwater.
It was like Jack Cousteau in the role of Captain Kirk.
Roy Schneider. Only the 1 year, but fucking Roy Schneider, anything he does, man. He could be a Captain Steubing for sure.
That's before they changed it to Sequest DSV,
Michael Ironside,
right?
Yeah. Michael Ironside took over. Yeah, it wasn't as nearly as good, unfortunately. Yeah, it looked like a squid. I just wanted to give shouts.
Yeah, squid.
The submarine looked like a squid. You remember that? Yeah.
I do. But all in all, I think both casts are going in totally different directions, musically. And
let me give you the quick shout out, Rob, on the showrunner. My showrunner for Love Boat would be Jay Baruchel, and he was the director of Goon. You know him as the lead of She's Out of My League. He's been done a ton of comedies, and This Is the End. He's a lot of people know him as the voice of the guy from How to Train a Dragon or whatever that.
The mouth, the big mouth.
Yeah. So like at Trailer Park Boys, he's got comedy chops, but I think he could also do other stuff. He does a lot of behind the scenes stuff in Hollywood, and I think this would be a great signature piece for him to get out there.
I think in Goon, he says the F word a record like 302 times in 4 seconds.
That is the first one is a sneaky great hockey movie, honestly. It really is. It doesn't totally work, but it's so close, you know?
The second one could have been so much better.
They blew it. Yeah, they blew it.
Yeah, they did blow it.
They rushed it. Don't rush. You know what I mean? They should have took their time.
Great actors in it, and they ruined it.
Yeah, I know. It happens all the time.
Maybe we'll have to reboot Goon 2.
My Love Boat is HBO Max. It's a little bit expensive. It's not This Is Us. It's something in the middle. It's a little network. It's a little drama. It's a little bit good actors getting to chew on good stuff with the dark comedy mind of Jay Baruchel controlling it. I think 2 seasons, 1 movie.
So you're going with Love Boat Evil, like the evil Kirk, and I'm going with Love Boat Good, the good Kirk.
Sure. Sure. So Dennis Leary guest stars.
And your yeoman person has a goatee is the evil yeoman.
You know what? I didn't decide on the facial hair, but now that you say that.
Once again, America, it's up to you to pick which cast you would rather listen to, watch, and see conduct episode after episode with some of the greatest guest stars around.
Come aboard.
We're expecting you.
I crossed off Aubrey Plaza for like 3 different roles, but I really wanted her on the show. I just couldn't find a spot for her.
Aubrey Plaza, I just saw her today. What the hell was I watching? Oh yeah, 10 years.
She's weird. She's never really landed the correct role. It's out there. One of these recast reboots, we're going to find it for her.
We will. We'll find something for her because we're going to get her in a movie with Anna Kendrick. God damn it.
So, Joe Rogan's going to come to our defense. Don't worry.
Screw Joe Rogan.
Fuck that guy. Fight Island.
Anyway, Nick, I think it's time. We pay our bills with a little word from our sponsor.
Anchor.
The Love Boat promises something for everyone.
And we are back.
What are we talking about next, Rob?
Well, I guess we have to talk sports.
Pop those bubbles. They're pop, baby.
Oh, ginger ale, ginger pop, ginger beer, beer bubbles, bubble aid, bubble cola, double bubble burpa-cola, and all the crazy carbonated stuff that tickles your nose.
All right, all right, all right. The bubbles are popped. The champagne is flowing. Tampa has another Stanley Cup. Do you give a shit, Rob?
Nope.
They certainly act like they've been there before.
Yeah,
that team is really good, though. You have to tip your hat to them. Nobody really gives a shit about hockey in Tampa except for a few fans. But man, they just plowed through a good Canadians team. So pretty shocking
stuff. I'll tell you what, Nick. How did the Canadians make it to the finals with the record they had during the season?
You know why? Because they were feisty. The Islanders and the Canadians were two feisty teams on the east side, but it wasn't enough to stop the firepower of the Lightning.
However, I will tip their hat and then shit in it and then hand it back to them.
Jumpo! This is awesome!
What do people do with the Stanley Cup when they take it home?
You don't want to know.
Yeah,
you
don't. I definitely don't. All right, so the NBA Finals, I would argue, is kind of lackluster, even though I'm rooting for Chris Paul. Great legacy, good finish to a career. Probably going to play at least a couple more years, but I want him to get a title. I do like Giannis, and even though I don't like the coach, I like this Bucks team. Giannis isn't 100%. It's making for a crappy Finals. Do you think the Suns can sweep?
Well, it depends on what he plays for his next song.
I think it's kind of boring, honestly, and I've watched half of each of the first 2 games. At time of recording, the Suns are up 2-0. I hope the Bucks at least get 1 game, you know, for their fans.
We'll see. It's so boring and lackluster right now. It's like nobody cares.
I know. I feel that too, actually. And what we do care about is baseball. And I wanted to bring up yet again that baseball is failing as we head into the All-Star break. Red Sox have 5 All-Stars. Congratulations, Red Sox. First place, Red Sox. Baseball is still failing in my mind, Rob. Vladdy Jr., Tatis Jr., Acuna Jr., Otani, DeGrom, Trout coming back after the All-Star game. They have these stars. How come I never see them anywhere? You know, aside from the point that we hate Manfred and baseball is, you know, tragically dying a little bit, and the silly rule changes that we've complained about before, this is a great, fun baseball season, and they are not, at least in my mind, capitalizing on it. They're going to have an amazing home run derby lineup. Can we, I don't know, get them on SNL, get them on late night TV? Can we do something? Otani is a class act. People should be writing books about him right now, mid-season. It's crazy that they're not capitalizing on this. What's your take?
It's all because of the commissioner. Nobody likes him. Yeah. Manfred Mann, you need to be blinded by the light.
Blinded.
Open your eyes.
By the light.
Look.
Stop being a douche and do something right.
That's right.
He's failing. He should be fired just for that. Your sport is dying. It's a local sport at this point. It's going to be hockey in a couple more years if you're not careful. And you have these great, amazing stars, and you are failing to capitalize. It's starting to make me mad. I'm telling you, Rob, I have never watched so much LA baseball in my life. It's shocking.
I honestly wish that they would get rid of the commissioners that were former owners, former lawyers, whatever.
Yeah.
Go with right someone about who played.
Yeah.
Someone who was
Cal Ripken Jr., one of your favorites, right?
Exactly. He'd be
Nolan
perfect.
Ryan. Well, he's kind of a dick, but...
Yeah, but he threw 7 fucking no-hitters.
Yeah, so. I wouldn't argue with it. Believe me, it's fine. He's hired. I'm not going to say no to Nolan Ryan. Are you kidding me?
And don't forget the time he pummeled Robin Ventura.
Oh, it was amazing. He put him in the headlock. He didn't let him go. I've been watching... I just watched the Mick Foley A&E biography. I caught up to that one. And man, I was like, you know what? Nolan Ryan and Mick Foley could have been in the cage. That would have been amazing.
Yeah, they would have been. How's your ear? You hear me?
Oh, my God. I forgot about that. I saw that, I believe, live, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, again, is it fake? Is it real? The conversation can go on forever. But believe me, these guys, look at them now. What they're doing takes amazing athleticism, regardless of what you think about the sport itself, you know?
Well, it's like that movie Grunt. The guy got his head caught in the ropes and he got decapitated, but he came back from worse than that, you know?
You know, one of the things about these A&E biographies with the wrestling, you know, I obviously was waiting and loved the Hitman Hart one, even though I wish it was 2 hours longer, is that when they describe some of the stuff that happens that you remember when Mick Foley gets caught in the ropes like that, when you see it and he's saying, yeah, I was literally choking. That's the secret. Oh my God. It really impacts you.
And not all wrestlers are big dopes. He is a accomplished writer of children's books.
Seriously. So. Yeah. His own bio was number one New York Times bestseller. Also, he's a Renaissance man. No doubt about that. Yeah,
he was. I mean, but back to baseball. I actually look forward to the All-Star break.
Me too. I'm definitely looking forward to this one.
I love watching the Home Run Derby.
Great lineup.
After the game, there is a little controversy because there's only 2 teams that are playing within the All-Star break. And you know who those 2 teams are, Nick?
Red Sox.
The Yankees and the Sox.
Yeah. I'm okay with it. You know what? Fuck it, man. 2 of the bigger markets. Fuck it. Let's do this. We're crushing, by the way.
We're crushing, yeah. But here's the thing. They don't get the full rest period of the players that went to the All-Star game.
Yep. I raised my eyebrow from that perspective. You are giving the local perspective and I'm giving put baseball on a pedestal, and I want the world to understand that this Red Sox team is legit good. Even with the likes of Martin Perez pitching every 5th day, we are like legit good. And if we can make a deal, I know you text me the Anthony Rizzo possibility trade that's been murmuring around the Boston media there. I don't hate that trade. Honestly, bringing Rizzo back to Boston makes sense, something we've done before, bringing guys back that we traded away. But I really think we need another starter. Eovaldi is an all-star. Matt Barnes is an all-star, but the rest of the guys are kind of patchworky. I like Erod. He's very hittable. I think he's a number 3, number 4 guy. Eovaldi, I believe, to be a number 2 type guy. Maybe we get Sale back late August, early September. I'm not sure yet, but we could use a starter. And there are teams that are sellers. There are guys that we could get. And if I was Chaim Bloom, I would definitely be looking for a starter.
Yeah, but if we get Rizzo back, I mean, it's the return of the Jerky Boys.
It's a great story. I know. I know. Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm not going to say no to it. You know, we should have never got Adrian Gonzalez. I loved him as a player, and I actually rode for that deal. I think it was a Jed Hoyer deal, or maybe no, it was a Theo Epstein deal. And I remember liking it, and it was pretty clear early on, this is not a Boston guy. Some of these markets, Boston, New York, you have to be a certain person, you know?
Who'd have thought he'd be such a wuss about playing in Sunday Night Baseball?
He was, yeah, he was. Great player, but not a fit for us. Nowhere. He's on the Love Boat.
He's going to be on the 14th episode of season two.
After he got benched by the Dodgers, that's the beginning of the Love Boat episode. He looks in his pocket. He's got a little lighter that says Pacific Princess. And he's going to take a trip on the Love Boat. He's going to change things up a little bit.
Anywho, what else we got?
Let me give you one more. I just wanted your take on this one. I don't know if it's actually going to happen. We let Kemba Walker go. You know, I thought this was a good deal. We talked about in the last episode for Al Horford. There are rumors that he's going to be bought out by Oklahoma City, and he's going to go to the Lakers. Would it make you mad to see Kemba Walker play for the Lakers, Rob?
He wasn't a grown talent. He wasn't an original draft pick by the
UConn
Celtics.
UConn guy, so, but yeah.
And it's a business. I mean, I really don't care where anybody really goes.
Okay, so let me ask you this. To that point, Rob, because I think this matters, and I know it matters in Boston media, Jaylen Brown for Damian Lillard, Bradley Beal, is that something you would accept?
I don't care.
Really?
I'm not running the Celtics.
I'm emotional about that one. I don't get emotional about a lot of them, but I don't want to break up Brown and Tatum. I really don't.
I'm not running the Celtics. I'm not running the Red Sox. I'm not running the Bruins. I'm just waiting for football season.
Do you think Stevens is capable of being as heartless as Danny Ainge was?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you might be right. I got to see it first. He doesn't look like it, but maybe. You know what I mean? Maybe.
In order to be a good GM, you have to be a dick.
You're probably right about that. Yeah. All right.
It's business.
Yeah.
That's the way every sport is done. It's a business. I don't care where you go or what you do. Just don't act like you've never been there. That's the only thing I have to say.
Steve Ballmer pays less in taxes than LeBron James. How do you feel about that? That's not a good take. Not a good story.
No, I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care either, but I like when stories like that come out.
Space Jam's coming out soon, so I guess.
Yeah, and it's coming right to Disney, HBO Max, so I'll be looking forward to that.
You went back to the movies, right?
Yes, Rob, I did. The mask was off. I actually bought popcorn. They put a little cover on it now. It's kind of cute. I had a couple of daddy sodas, and I went to see Black Widow, the biggest movie out there right now. I couldn't quite get myself out there for Fast fucking 50 or whatever it is, but I did go there for Black Widow, and man, I had a great time.
Was the theater packed?
Mid-pandemic, I went to see Tenet, if you recall. And I was like the only guy in there, and it was really weird. And I remember like putting the hand sanitizer on my hands and stuff. This time, good crowd. I'd say about 70% full. I took that as a great sign.
Awesome. And you know what I'm going to ask you? You said you had popcorn with a cover on it. How the hell did you eat it?
It's like a rotating cover. Then you put your hand and then you close it back up. It's very cool. Great science. So
still very hard to cut a hole in the bottom of it when you're out with your date?
We're getting canceled. Joe Rogan, come help us with that one. Now, in light of that, Rob, let's talk about some of the movie theater do's and don'ts. Let's talk a little bit about movie theater food. I know you don't go a lot, but you've been. And when you do go, what are some of your go-to movie theater stuff?
Well, you want to talk about movie theater food?
I do.
Well, cue the music then, damn it.
Oh, play it, baby. The Love Boat. What do we got for the food segment this week, Rob?
Okay.
What's cooking good looking?
Eggplant pop.
Cheese for Bookie. No soup for you.
You are about to be crushed by a giant corn.
Tina, come get some ham.
It's made with bits of real panther, so you know it's good.
And café.
All right, Nick, I go to movies a lot. You know, when I went back in the day in my horse and carriage to the drive-in watching the silent flick.
Where the orchestra plays in front of the screen.
Exactly.
Or puppets like Mick Foley's Mr. Socky or whatever.
Mr. Socko.
Mr. Socko, sorry. Famous.
Yeah,
sorry.
I mean, come on. I'm not going to the theater to eat. That's the thing. It's kind of funny. I mean, it's a do or don't. Yes, you do.
They've
want
gotten
some
more
munchies.
Sophisticated. You got to admit that.
I know. I saw AMC theaters. I don't know if there's any out in Vegas.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we got them. Absolutely.
Okay. They have actual dining theaters now with full meals, appetizers, drinks, dessert throughout the movie, which I kind of find a little weird because you could do that at home.
I agree, and there is this conversation to be had, not in our food segment on E2W, about the experience at home getting so much better versus the movie theater experience. And I am here to ride. Listen, I'm old as well here, and I don't like change just like every other old person out there. But you can see a movie at home and it can be a really good experience and you can make fancy dinner and watch your, you know, Space Jam 20 or whatever the fuck it's going to be versus the theater experience. But there are some movies, Rob, some movies. I would argue Black Widow, maybe not a masterpiece, maybe not The Godfather is one of them. Certainly Tenet, I know you didn't like it as much as I did, that command that movie theater experience and I don't want it to go away. So whatever we can do to get people in the theater, if it means making us, you know, filet mignon at your table there while you watch Black Widow, fine. I don't like that. I'm a traditionalist, but fine.
Tableside flambe.
I like the stadium seating. I'm glad that more movie theaters have gone to that, but don't put a table in front of me. Now they have like the chairs that go all the way back, but the little, it's like a school table desk that swings in front of you and then you can swing it out. I do sort of like that because everything you get is oversized in America. 32-ounce beers, 32-ounce Diet Pepsis or whatever. It's too much and I can't just put that in my lap or on the ground where I kick it over.
Right. Well, here's the thing. The movie theater, when they do all that, you're going to have to take a break, obviously, to go.
I peed once. And I was proud I only peed once, honestly.
Because at home, you have the power of the pause button to do that. So you don't really have to miss anything. Where in the theater, when you get a full meal, and sometimes some people, it goes through them a little bit faster, beverages of food, and you know, you have to take a break.
Rob, when you watch a movie like Tenet, that I am not mistaken, right? You didn't love that movie, right?
Tenet is a movie I have to watch a few times to figure out the gist.
All Chris Nolan movies are. Yeah. He's annoying with that, and he should probably stop doing that. But yeah, I agree. It is one of those. But he puts you in a place, and he puts you in a vibe. And if you pause to take a pee, you leave that vibe and then come back. And I think you're losing 10-20% of what that vibe is. And I know that these directors are trying to prevent you from doing that. But unfortunately, movie theaters are working against them, giving you giant beers and sodas now.
Right. Honestly, I think what the problem with the movie Tenet was to me, in a weird way, was this annoying soundtrack that played throughout the whole movie.
I love the sound. The soundtrack I love less, but I thought the sound in that movie was incredible over the course of the film.
You know what I mean? It's like the fight scenes. It was like a song playing.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
What is this? Kung Fu dancing?
Yeah. What I'd say about that movie was Denzel's son was very good. The first time I really liked Robert Pattinson, which I was impressed with. And by the time I got to the end, I rolled my eyes through almost an hour and a half of that movie. But by the time I got to the end, I was like, all right, I'll allow it.
You know what? I'll allow it.
Drink up, America.
But let's talk food here. Let's talk about some of the stuff that we do go to.
Okay. You said you had a list of things that people bring into the theater or get at the theater that you think is weird. Or they either sneak it in or they buy it and they do a concoction or something.
Yes. There are some really freaky deaky movie theater foods. And I wanted to know your take. So for this particular element, let's do the segment Rob Says No and see if you will allow these weird things in the movie theater. We'll go quick hitters. I'll give them to you and you tell me yay or nay.
Okay.
All right. You ready, Rob?
I'm ready.
Number one, a watermelon in a movie theater.
Not cut.
Not fucking cut, by the way.
Okay. So first of all, you're going to need to bring a weapon into the theater to carve your watermelon. So is there a Trader Joe's near this place, this movie theater, I guess?
I wanted to start you with a really weird one. All right. So that's a clear Rob says no.
That's a no.
Okay. Gotcha.
No.
Okay. Next one, Rob, on a quick hitter. Would you take Milk Duds or Snow Caps and put them into your popcorn, letting the chocolate and butter sort of commingle together?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay, so you're a yes on that one. Yeah, I'm a no on that one, believe it or not. I don't like that. I don't want to get my hands all gross like that.
Well, it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with the salty, sweet concoction. It's the flavor.
But the dirtiness of my hands to get to that taste, I feel like it's too much of a sacrifice.
You can throw M&Ms in there if you want.
Yeah, I get. You know what? M&Ms, because you have a little bit of that coating, it gives you a tiny bit of protection, right?
It's the salty, sweet. So it's a yes.
Okay, that's a yes for you and no for me. Okay, let me give you another weird one. I went to Hong Kong. I saw a movie there. I think it was Spider-Man 2. I can't remember. But fish balls. It's actually not that hard to eat. You eat it with a stick. It's like a fried, usually it's curry fish ball, a white fish ball. Would you eat something like that in a movie theater?
If I was in Hong Kong, probably.
Okay.
In the United States? No, I don't want to get someone to yell at me going, who has the stinky fish?
No, Nick.
Okay, that's a no for both of us. Yeah, I don't agree with that because it smells. It smells weird. Yeah, I agree with that. All right, let me give you another easy one because I don't love this one. I'm a yes on pretzels where you dip the cheese into, but I don't like nachos and cheese at the movie theater. Some of them give it to you separated and some pour the cheese on top. Either way, I'm a no on that one. What's your take?
Okay, here's my take on that. It's going to be noisy for one. You're crunching the nachos.
Yes. Okay? I'm so glad you brought this up.
A little side note here, a little side tangent. This is my thing with that. I have actual things that you should never eat in a movie theater, and that's one of them because of the noise. The crunch, 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 crunch. Popcorn was invented because it's the silent food. Food, I guess.
You can let it rest in your mouth for a second, make it even softer, actually. But anything like chips or nachos, too fucking loud, man. Come on, we're trying to enjoy the film here. Chris Nolan would kick your ass for that.
Oh, those weird vegetarians that bring a stalk of celery in and start chomping on that.
You know what? I've seen it on West Coast, and I've seen the carrot celery packet. Come on, man. Get that shit out of my face.
Right. I mean, and it's not the ones that come with the buffalo wings. It's like these people bringing stalks of celery in.
Yeah. All right, let me ask you another couple of quick weird ones. Egg rolls, yay or nay?
Ooh, egg rolls. Well, see, that's a hand food.
Right?
It's a hand food. So I would probably say yes to that.
I'm a yes, too. I'm a yes, too. I'm glad you said that. Okay, ice cream on the cone, yay or nay for that one? It's a little, you gotta do a little work there,
No. Are you out of your mind? Because it's kind of weird to be sitting in a movie theater and having other people look at you licking an ice cream cone. That's just weird.
Okay, full pizza box, like a decent-sized pizza slice or multiple pizza slices?
No. Are you crazy?
Yeah, I'm a no on that one, too. Honestly, I watch people do it. I haven't done it myself yet, and it annoys me. It's distracting.
It has a lot to do with, like, the fold. If they were sitting there eating their pizza out of the box with a knife and fork, I'd have to get up and pound them.
Yeah, I would get angry, too. Okay, I'm going to give you one for that's close to my heart, Nikki the Greek. I saw a movie in Greece before, souvlaki. Souvlaki on the stick. It's not the full pocket. It's just the chicken souvlaki. Come on, man. You got to say yes to that one, right?
Okay.
Tastes so good, and it's quiet.
If you're in Greece...
Bring it to America. I want this now.
And it's not sloppy.
Yeah, it's got to be not sloppy. I agree.
Okay, it has to be not sloppy. So I would say yes to that. It's like the same thing as chicken satay.
Yes. Yeah, a little bit like that. It's very similar to that, for those who don't know. Okay, assorted cheese plate. Pretentious as fuck. But you know what? I'm a yes. So go ahead. Hit me down. Okay. Hit me back.
All right. As long as there is no crackers that are crunchy that make noise.
All right. I think we can peace in the Middle East on that one.
I don't want to hear someone eating behind me a cheese plate that sounds like Homer Simpson. That's the thing.
All right. I think we can come to a consensus on that. Okay, now let's just briefly talk about the candies. I know we did a Halloween episode in season one. Do you have go-to candies? I don't really go for like Sour Patch Kids that much or Almond Joys or something in the movie theater, but once in a while, I'll get Bunch of Crunch, which is like the Nestle Chunks, you know, something like that. But I'm not big on the candy. Do you have a go-to candy at the movies?
It's always... and always will be peanut butter or peanut M&Ms.
Really? That's interesting. Is there a story behind that or a reason or it's just the love?
No, it's just that's what I would want to eat in the theater. Say you're talking about the chocolate getting all over your hands that has the candy coating, so it won't melt. It'll melt in your mouth and not in your hands.
I appreciate that, I don't know how many years ago they came up with the little cookie dough ice. It's not ice cream. It's cookie dough like balls in a box.
Yep.
I kind of like those. I kind of accept those.
I'm not a fan of cookie dough. I just don't like eating raw things.
What about classic? I remember from the Halloween episode, Mike and Ike's or Hot Tamales or something. Are you pro or anti?
Yes and no. Some of those get stuck in your teeth and sometimes... to get people sucking their teeth. Yeah. I got some ones that are kind of weird that would be in a movie theater with in different areas. So in Thailand, soup with long noodles.
You know, I've seen soup on the West Coast here at a movie theater. Too much work. Too much work. I'm a no on that one.
Okay. A loaded hot dog or a loaded chili dog?
So I've had the Chicago-style hot dog at a movie theater and fucking loved it. I'm all for bratwurst, hot dogs, anything like that in a movie theater. It's functional. I'm okay with it.
Okay. But if you're the only one in the theater eating it and the smell is... emanating from you.
We didn't talk about this, but I will briefly go on a tangent to say that my go-to move is aisle all the way at the top in the movie theater. So I feel like I've created enough distance from everybody where I could be a little bit annoying.
Okay. What about tuna fish with onions?
No.
Are you stupid?
Hell no.
Tacos.
Soft shell, maybe it's okay. But no, I'm mostly no. I think there's questions there.
People love to bring this one from home to the theater. Somehow, I don't know how they keep it hot. Burnt popcorn.
So I actually like burnt popcorn. I didn't know you were going to challenge me on this one in this episode. But when I microwave popcorn at home or Jiffy Pop it at home, I like to burn it a little bit. I don't know what's wrong with my receptors in my brain, but I do like that. So I sort of like the smell and the taste, but would I go out of my way to bring it into a movie theater? No, it's too much work.
You've never worked in an office with people that are in close quarters to you.
I have. Believe me. Fuck people who do the microwave popcorn in the office. Come on. Grow up.
Okay. So let's say you're in Ireland watching a movie and you're bringing a boiled dinner.
Yeah, that's a hard no for me.
Boiled dinner.
What Irish food do I like? Once a year. Come on. St. Paddy's. You could give me the corned beef and turnips, but you know, that's the end of the line there. You wash and you scrub.
Okay. A plate of beans.
Fuck no. Next question. We're on to Cincinnati, people.
Yes, we're on to Cincinnati. So, as long as you're on with the stuff to not bring in, and then stuff that you're okay, that you'll allow, I guess.
I've been away for a while, Rob. Things. I've been away from Boston for a while. Do they serve the little cup of Boston baked beans in the theater?
Yes, they do. And
I believe, yeah, that, you know what? I'd be tempted. When in Rome, right? I'd be tempted.
New England clam chowder. You can get
fucking legal seafood chowder in the theater. Yes, that's a hard yes for me. Absolutely. What about, okay, so let me ask quickly. I know we got to move on, but quickly on the take of the alcohol. So I'm sure East Coast is the same way. They're all trying to get your money in different ways, right? So now overpriced alcohol is sold in these theaters all the time, right? So you can get a martini, you can get a Jack and Coke, you can get a big 32 ounce beer. Are you a drinker in the movies, or is that not a thing you do?
Well, the last thing you want to do is get drunk in a movie theater, and then when the movie's out, you start a brawl in the parking lot.
I got tipsy at yesterday, the Beatles movie. I thought that was genius.
But some theaters here are allowing only beer and wine, and it's limited. I believe it's a 2-drink minimum, 3-drink maximum.
Yeah, kind of like you live in an Irish Catholic guilt, Massachusetts. That's probably true. I don't think we have that out here, but I've never asked either.
But we do have movie theaters that offer the full dining and bar experience.
Yeah. And it's weird. Like, you go out of the movie theater and there's a bar right there. I know they're trying to make money and stuff, but I've sat at the bar there, so I'm guilty. So I guess I'm a yes on it.
It's a weird situation. And a lot of them are charging up front. So you get tickets. So
oh,
you
really?
Pay for whatever it is up front. And this is to stop the waiter and the waitresses or whatever coming over and clearing your plates during the movie to bother
yeah.
you.
So yeah,
I think in those dining experiences, I'm not sure, but I think they have actual intermissions in the middle of a movie to do plate clearing.
Side tangent, Rob, are you pro or anti intermissions for movies? I'm anti, but I know there's been some directors that fight for it. Would you be down for that?
I don't think it would be a problem if it's the dining theaters that do it. It would have to be a separate edit. I mean, Quentin Tarantino movies are very easy to do that with.
He's fought for those. He actually sort of did it in The Hateful Eight, but they didn't give you a full break, you know?
It is a good, you know, you get your pee break in, you get your plates cleared, you come back to your seating, and you finish watching the movie. It's like they do it at the actual theater where you're watching live performers. They have intermissions there.
Well, I think we covered a lot of ground here, so we'll close down the food segment.
No soup for you!
Do you have any recommendations?
I do have recommendations, Rob. I have one to avoid because it's just blah. I wouldn't say it's necessarily bad, but it's just blah. And that is The Tomorrow War with one of the Chris's. Which Chris is that?
Chris Pratt.
Yeah, sorry. Thank you.
On Amazon.
Yeah, that's an Amazon one. I think it was a movie theater movie that Amazon put out there. Just whatever. It's fine. Very cookie cutter and missed opportunities there. But my return to the movie theater was a pretty fair success. I thought Scarlett Johansson and Florence Pugh, who you will know from Little Women or Midsommar, was excellent in that movie. David Harbour from Stranger Things, a lot of scene stealers in that movie. It's a Marvel movie, so it is exactly what you think it is. There's an end credit scene there, but I enjoyed myself, and I think I made the right call to see it in the theater.
Oh, okay.
What do you got, Rob?
I have one. It's on A&E. It's the biography of Kiss called Kistery Parts 1 and 2, or in their case, Volumes 1 and 2.
You know what? You got me into these A&E biographies, and they're so good. I watched the MTV one. I will put this on the DVR, and I will get to it.
Awesome. It's great. There's lots of stuff that you hear and learn from this Kistery that you go, huh, I did not know that.
Yeah, for those guys, believe me. The one thing, would you agree with me on this, Rob? Those A&E biographies, and maybe it's intentional. Maybe they want to leave you wanting more. They're too short. I would watch like 4 hours.
Yeah. Well, they broke the Kiss one down into that. So it's just about 4 hours. It's just
two
volumes. Two volumes, volume one and volume two. Volume one, the early years, volume two, the later years. So they were a band that did a lot and influenced a lot, but didn't get a lot of respect.
It's just rock and roll with makeup on, man.
It is. But the stories are good. Their backgrounds are really good. And like I said, it's something that a lot of people probably did not know. And if they do know, they're lying. Any shouts?
Shout outs. Talking Flick, talkingflick.com, realwatchability.com. Top 10 movies of the year, top 10 movies of all time. And you can hit me up at Twitter at realwatch.
Awesome. It's been good. It's been fun, but it hasn't been real fun until we give you our email address and Twitter. So email is east to west with Nick and Rob at gmail.com.
East to west with Nick and Rob at gmail.com.
Our Twitter is at Nick and Rob E2W.
Twitter.
And our website is www.nickandrobe2w.com. Once again, any comments, questions, recommendations?
If you like fish in movie theaters, let us know. You're crazy. Right.
If you want a tuna fish wrap while you're watching Jaws, let us know.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Anyway, folks, it's been great. Have a great night. Nick, it's always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure, sir. Exciting and new every time.
And we'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode. This time, we're going to recast, reboot, Different Strokes, starring Kevin Hart and The Rock.
Sold! Anna Kendrick! I'm calling! Pick up the phone!
Peace!
Peace!
Set a course for adventure, your mind on a new road, man.
Yo, kid, you check that Sox game last night?
Clicker. And above all, I'm from Boston.
I touched myself to Tom Brady.
Hey, buddy, how about a fucking blinker?
It's like the friggin' Big Dig all over again.
The auntie. I'm gonna go park the car in Harvard Yard.
It is now time for America's favorite new segment that Rob does, called Nick. It's time to answer a question about Boston pop culture.
A masshole. I never liked that term, masshole.
Okay, Nick, you have 30 seconds to do this.
I'm being timed?
Nobody said anything
about a clock.
Deal with it. There's a shot clock. There's a game clock.
Here's your fucking sandwich.
There's a clock on your wrist called a watch.
There's a Rolex in 1300 Crusades, England.
And Flavor Flav walked around with a clock around his neck.
I was waiting for Flavor Flav, so now he's here. I feel good. Let's do this.
Okay. There are 13 movies that have been filmed at Fenway Park.
Fremont's is like my bad dad.
You have 30 seconds to name as many of them as you can. Ready, set, go.
There are two certainties in life.
Fever Pitch, The Town, shit.
Filmed no, shit's at, not one of them. Right?
Field of Dreams, that's got to be one, right?
Uh-huh, keep going.
Shoot, let me think about this. Fenway Park, I mean, it's so great in cinema, right? Patriots Day, got to be one of them, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
I said The Town. How about Blown Away with Tommy Lee Jones?
Yep, you got 10 seconds.
How many do I got? I got a decent amount of them, right?
You got five seconds.
Halfway? Oh, A Civil Action. I get that one? That one
time is up. Civil Action got in there. Let's go over
that. Moneyball. Moneyball would have been in there, too, because they did the John Henry thing.
Yes, it would have been.
All right, I'll stop. I'll let it go.
Blown Away.
Yeah, I love that movie. Underrated.
Civil Action is correct.
Yeah, I like that movie, too. It's underrated also.
You said Fever Pitch.
I did say Fever Pitch, yep.
Did you say The Town?
I said The Town, yep. First one.
Moneyball?
I didn't get
you
it
got
in
it
time.
At the end.
Yeah, I got it at the end. Yeah, the John Henry scene. I love that scene, by the way.
You did say Patriots Day, which I'm very impressed with.
I like that movie. Yep.
The ones you missed.
Okay.
Ted.
Tom Brady could do that.
Fenway Park was in Ted?
Yes. He was climbing up the wall.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I spaced that one.
R.I.P.D.
That fucking movie's terrible. That's not my fault.
it's good because of the actors in it, but the movie is stupid.
It cost like $500 billion and it should have been better.
Spotlight had a scene filmed at Fenway Park.
Spotlight. Yeah, we should have got that. I should have nailed it. I love that movie, so I missed that.
Okay. Jake Gyllenhaal's movie, Stronger.
Yeah.
Okay, how about this one? I know it came out a couple of years ago, I think 2018. The Catcher Was a Spy, filmed at Fenway Park.
I don't know that one.
Look it up, you're going to love it. And of course, you missed the big one. The big movie you missed, Nick. You're going to feel so bad about this.
Okay, yeah.
Because they fucked up Fenway Park. Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
You know what? I probably turned it off before it got to that part.
It
fuck up Fenway in that?
Yes, it destroys Fenway Park in that.
Oh, that would break my heart.
You probably shut it off.
Maybe I'll go back and watch that abomination of a movie.
You probably shut it off because it reminds you so much of the 2003 season.
I like that season, except to the end.
This has been the segment called Nick. It's time to answer a question about Boston pop culture.
What the fuck happened to the clicker, you fucking cocksucker?
And good night.
I thought I did well. I thought I nailed it.
You answer questions from Boston.
Best part of my day.
This is the face of Dunkin' Donuts right there.
Hey, you can't smoke in here, man.
I'm not, Mark. I'm not smoking.
You're smoking.